Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
It's great to come together in God's house, in God's presence. And God's doing some wonderful things. For those of you who were not there on Wednesday evening at the Bible school, we had a wonderful evening. Pastor Les Mitchell from London came and he really shared God's word, but he shared really from his heart about following Jesus and what it actually means to be somebody who says yes to the Lord and continually says yes, so that we don't just start our race, but that we finish it. And it was a tremendous time. And during the worship, I know that it was a very special time of worship. And at the beginning, you know, you long for these kinds of things. When I said, introduce Pastor Les and different things, I then said, but more importantly, Jesus is here. And there was a spontaneous release of praise. And for me, what's important in what God is doing is that he's working out of our hearts a new love for Jesus. And that we don't clap because we should, but we clap because we want to. Now, that doesn't mean we always live entirely on our emotions. It's a decision of will sometimes to praise the Lord. But it was such a sign of something new happening and breaking out in this church. And the Lord spoke a prophetic word over us. And I believe very much that we shouldn't just hear the prophetic word, but that we should actually apply it. And the Lord said to honor what he is doing amongst us. Now, to honor what God is doing, it means to treat as significant. And the presence of the Lord on Wednesday night was so awesome, I have longed for many, many years to experience what we experienced on Wednesday night. You would agree. For those of you who were there, it was so unusual. And God is doing something amazing. And he wants all of us to treat as significant what he is doing, to honor the significance of his presence here and now. That we're not just in a meeting, but that God himself is amongst us. And to treat his presence with significance. And he also said to me through a vision, as I was prophesying and speaking really what God was saying to honor what he is doing with significance, he gave me a vision of a very turbulent river. And this river was churning up. It was actually out of control almost. You could see that there anything in there, if you were in a canoe, you would be turned upside down. If you were in a ship, you'd probably be turned upside down. It was a transforming vision. And the Lord said to me and to all of us that he wants such a turbulent move of his spirit that it will transform society. And that what he is doing amongst us will result in a powerful move of God in the world. Just thank the Lord for that. Come on, let's thank him. Come on, let's believe the prophetic word. Let's believe what God is saying. Thank you, Jesus. And so this strong vision, this vision, I've never had one quite so uncomfortable looking. You know, we like to see the river of the Holy Spirit to be gentle streams. And there are times when that is the way the Holy Spirit moves. But I believe what God is saying is that out of this honor of God's presence and this getting back to the person of Jesus Christ, out of this focus on Jesus will come a move of God that will transform the world. And God actually wants what he does amongst us to be noticeable in the world. And I know everybody in this room wants God's work to be noticeable in the world. And I believe this morning we're just going to continue to partner with what the Spirit is saying to us and continue to move with what He is saying and doing. If you weren't there on Wednesday night, there is grace for you. But I believe that it's an important thing to understand that we are to be together in these times. That God wants to bring people together so that we can experience what He is wanting to do amongst us. And there are genuine reasons why some of you couldn't. But I believe that these days are too significant to stay away. I believe they're significant in God's purpose for us as His people. And therefore, He is saying, honor it by changing your lives to be a part of it. Honor what God is doing by reordering your life. Because God wants to upset some of the things that we kind of think we would choose to do and bring His plan into our lives. See, Jesus actually wants radical disciples. He's called us to follow Him no matter what He says and no matter where He goes, so that we're actually part of a move of God that will be noticed in the world. So I believe we are in a great place as a church. I believe we are exactly right slap bang in the will of God. And that as we join together in one heart, one mind with what He is doing, we will see a continuation of what God has begun. It's been a tremendous kind of 6 weeks or so of God just really moving amongst us and bringing us to this point. And we are on a journey. But God needs you and me to be partnering with Him. He's not going to do it without people. And a people who are committed to what He is doing. So let's look at a noticeable move of God in the Word of God today. And let's have a look at some important things that I believe God wants to say to us through it. In Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. I reckon you could say on the day of Pentecost, the fruit of the Holy Spirit coming and filling believers was noticeable in the world. Initially, it was transforming the whole of the city of Jerusalem. But the Holy Spirit, because Jesus actually spoke about this, He said, I don't want to just transform the city. I don't just want to transform the nation. I want to change the whole world, and I'm going to do it through the power of my Holy Spirit. And so, in Acts chapter 2, after really the Spirit came upon, the 120 filled them, they spilled out into the street. And all the people around them heard them speaking with other tongues, declaring the wonderful works of God. Peter gets up to preach, to explain this manifestation or this unusual event. I believe God wants you to have unusual times with the Holy Spirit. That means outside your known experience of Him. Thank you, Jesus. Because otherwise we just box in God into our own kind of way of thinking. And God wants to show us that He's God and do things in and through us that will actually create a bit of a shock and awe outside. That's a new kind of way that this generation speaks. A bit of shock and awe. And we could do with a bit of shock and awe about what God's doing in your life. That the world, the workplace, people around you go, shock and awe, what's that? In fact, we'd like some of it to happen here today. Shock and awe, I've been changed. And so Peter gets up to preach, to explain, to use the word of God to explain what the Spirit is doing. And whenever God moves, it's always the word that shows us what the Spirit is doing. And what I love about this is that God moves and then brings his word that he gave the prophet Joel years ago, but he brings the word. He doesn't just preach the word and then the Spirit moves. He moves and then says, this is that was prophesied in the book of Joel. Let's just read 2 and verse 16. He basically says these guys are not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning, and if you are, you've really got a problem. Verse 16, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So God says, I am removing elitism in the move of my spirit. I am removing age barriers. Don't you just love God? He says, I am not giving any restrictions on your age or on your gender. Male and female, old and young, all will receive the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is not just a thing, an it, or a force. He is God. In fact, he is God here. And Peter says, this is God poured out on all flesh. And he says, all will prophesy, all will speak the words of God. And you know, when we speak from what God is saying by being filled with the Holy Spirit, the order of the world is changed. Because prophesying changes, has creative ability. When it's God speaking through us, it has power to change the world. So God says, every one of my people who believe in Jesus will be filled with the Spirit and prophesy. Fantastic, isn't it? Verse 19, I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This begins with these two words, last days. The last days began with Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. That's when a new time began. So it was in the last days, God said, I am going to pour out my spirit. And then we see the fruit of the outpouring of the Spirit on the people who would receive God living in them through faith in Jesus. That they would dream dreams, have visions, prophesy, begin to operate under the anointing or power of the Holy Spirit. And then it speaks about wonders in the signs in the heavens and on the earth. And after the outpouring of the Spirit, God says there's going to be unusual signs in creation. And I believe we are going to move into times where there will be signs in the heavens and on the earth. Creation is going to actually confirm the word. And there are going to be unusual creative order things going on in the world that God has preordained because this word will come to pass. And then in verse 20, it says, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. So Peter begins with, this is the last days. Jesus died, rose again, and has ascended. We've begun a new season, a day of the Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then he said, the time will end at a certain point. And that point in time is going to be the second coming of Christ. Jesus Christ will return after these events. So we are in the last days of the last days. If you want to know what time is it, the time is the last days of the last days before Jesus Christ returns. And we will see unusual things and events happen in the earth. That's why we got to live ready for the coming of our King. Not asleep and preoccupied with what the Gentiles or the world runs after. But Peter saw the big picture as he spoke, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he actually said in verse 38, the result of believing in Jesus is that you'll be forgiven your sins and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. We're in a season of grace where all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. There will come a time where this season will end, and that time is the second coming of Christ. But God commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the good news about Jesus. So the way to receive, really, the life of God, eternal life, is to repent, turn, have a change of mind, a change of lifestyle, a change of direction, and believe in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you will be forgiven your sins and receive the promise, the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus did not just forgive our sins. He gave us God, the Holy Spirit. So we're not just cleansed from sin. We have been given the greatest gift, God himself, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So Peter saw the big picture. He said, it's not just about 120 of us. And on that day when he preached, he said, it's not just about 3,000 of us. It's about a global outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Come on, let me say it again. It's about a global outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all flesh. And whoever repents and believes doesn't go to church, notice, sit in a pew, but repents and believes, receives forgiveness and the Holy Spirit. And so God himself says that this is my plan to upset and transform the entire world. Now, what were the conditions for this outpouring? Because I believe we need to be students of the Word and students of the first church. Because if we understand the Word of God is actually God-inspired. It's not written for information. It's actually the Word of God, which carries the breath of God. And so Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way through, is God's pattern for the church in every generation. So we don't follow the pattern of our culture. Help me, Jesus. We follow the pattern of the Word. So that we become absolutely sure and certain of what God wants us to be in this generation. And so, what were the conditions for the outpouring? In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, the Lord is really stirring me up this morning. I didn't feel like preaching this morning, I really feel like preaching now. It's like the Holy Spirit just come on me and I'm just seeing a release. There's something unusual going on here, guys. There's something unusual. God is doing something unusual. Do you not perceive it? Wake up and say yes, even though you can't feel anything, see anything. Say yes, I believe. Oh, come on, we're believers in the house. And Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus, after his suffering, showed himself to his apostles, to his disciples, with many convincing proofs. He spoke about the kingdom of God. And verse 4, on one occasion, whilst he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. One of the conditions for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was that the ones who were with Jesus before he died actually were with him after he rose again. In other words, they were with Jesus. The resurrected Jesus. They weren't kind of on their own in their homes with their families. They were gathered together around the person of Jesus. So one of the conditions we read from the Word, those who received the Holy Spirit were those who were with Jesus. And they'd heard him speak about going back to Jerusalem, waiting until the Spirit came. And so they weren't just with him, they were hearing what he was saying. They were being given instruction on what to do next. See, I believe, and this is what this whole message is about, the Spirit's put on my heart, I believe in the gathering of the saints around Jesus. I don't believe in an isolated, one-on-one lifestyle of faith. Because it's not biblical. We know that faith is personal. But we know that God's purpose is a gathering of people. Whenever Jesus came, when he first came, before he died, he would call people to follow him. He wouldn't just walk with one person. He would walk with a group, a crowd, or multitudes. And so there is this gathering of people. That's why our mindset must be us, not me. And there they were with the risen Jesus. Now, I'm sure they could find other things to do. We can always find something else to do to not be together. How many of you could have found something else to do this morning? I could have had a lie-in and felt a lot better, but actually I feel a lot better now I'm preaching. But this is one of the conditions. This is what's written down in the Word, that people get together around Jesus and hear his Word. In verse 13 of chapter 1, we read, the ones that were present, actually I won't go through the list. Verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. They came back to Jerusalem, obeying what Jesus had said, and they got into this place, so they called it the upper room, and they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, with Mary, mother of Jesus, and with the brothers. So, they didn't say, right, we're going to wait, but we'll wait on our own. See, I believe all scripture is God breathed and that there is a reason why we are together. And that reason goes a little bit beyond us enjoying one another. It's got something to do with a release of the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, I believe the church is the most powerful gathering on earth. I believe today we are the most powerful gathering on earth. And so they all, now this is quite interesting because Jesus has, they watched Jesus go. And I'd have liked to have been there. You know, one of those moments where you'd like to have been there. There's a few in the scripture I'd like, God, I want to see that. I will one day because I'm sure he'll show me. But you look up, you know, they see Jesus leave. Angels come, what are you looking at the sky for? This Jesus is going to return. Just, you know, get on with the job, guys. So they went back to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus had gone, but the Spirit hadn't come. So they were without the presence of God at that moment. Interesting. But they had a promise. And they must have believed the promise. How do we know that they must have believed it? Because they went back, got into the upper room and stuck together because they knew something great was about to happen. They were together expecting the Holy Spirit to come. Because they believed that Jesus said that's what would happen. Now, there were 120 devoted disciples. And that meant that there was a broadening of the scope of the amount of people who were to receive the initial infilling of the Holy Spirit. You see, I believe God wants to fill all people. But I believe you've got to want to be in a place where God is. We live in such an individualistic society. So counterproductive to God's purpose. Because if it's God's plan, we're together. The enemy is going to make sure he'll put everything in the way so we're not. If there is a power of being together, then the enemy is going to try to separate us. He'll do anything he can. He'll bring a carnal way of thinking into your head. He'll use selfishness, he'll use your circumstances, he'll do anything to stop you meeting with the people that God has called you to be with. Makes sense, doesn't it? All the enemy has to do is separate us to stop the powerful move of God. He doesn't have to do too much. So they were there, devoted believers. And in verse, where am I going? They were all in one accord. In verse 14, in another translation, they joined together constantly. They were in one accord in prayer and supplication. They had one accord. Now, let's just camp around this word. Let's not miss what God is saying to us. They were together, responding to what Jesus had said, in one accord. Now that word means in the same mind and in the same purpose. So they all, 120 of them, had the same mind and the same purpose. Now I don't know how many of you, I've probably preached it myself, have heard messages on those 10 days being 10 days of sorting out your relationships and your heart, your stinking attitudes going. Has anybody ever heard a message about those 10 days? I've heard a lot about people preaching about those 10 days as 10 days of sorting issues. But I don't believe they were sorting issues. I believe they were so excited that Jesus was alive and that the Spirit was about to come. And so the one accord wasn't a problem because they were of the same mind with the promise. I don't think we currently know how much power there is when, for example, all of us today, and we're going to do this, we're going to put this into practice at the end of the meeting, agree in one accord for a promise. All of us with the same mind, not individual agendas. You see, we have to surrender when we become saved and say that Jesus is Lord. Confess him, Lord. What does that mean? It means I'm no longer the boss. And it means that if I've got an opinion and God is saying something to the whole body of believers, and that promise is what he wants us to pray, then who am I to make up the agenda for us being together? You see, God brings his people together with his agenda for us. And in doing that, as we agree with one accord, we get amazingly blessed personally. But the church is not all about us having our personal needs met. It's about seeing his will done. And what is that? It's the bigger plan of the global outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all flesh. It's a bit more than me even today being healed. Although I know it's the will of God, I know it's my inheritance. But it's to do with the big picture that we are to come to agreement in one accord for a move of the Spirit that will be noticeable and transform the society we are living in. And we must have such a move of God. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit. We must. It's not an option if we want to change the world. Jesus didn't say, go and preach without the Holy Spirit. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be my witnesses. Power to be my witnesses. A witness is somebody who speaks but also demonstrates that God is here. And when those first disciples went out, you wouldn't have had to have asked people around them saying, well, they're just like us. They weren't like other people because God was doing something. I'm stirring you up. I trust you're receiving it in the right spirit, but I am stirring you. God is wanting to stir us today with a different expectation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, they weren't problem focused. They weren't actually one another focused. Have you ever tried to pray with somebody when all they want is for you to pray for this, that, and the other? They were promise focused. What Jesus had said, they had found a common goal. They had united around a promise. And God poured out his Spirit. They met the conditions for an outpouring. Question is, are we meeting the conditions? What are the conditions? Well, that we live our lives around Jesus and what he says. Not just hearing it, but doing it. And that we're a people who understand the power of gathering together. We're a people who understand the power of gathering together around the promise of God. They didn't just know the promise. They didn't just wait there, sleeping in the upper room, going out to get takeaways. They were in prayer and supplication. Now, I love praying in tongues. I believe one of the most wonderful gifts that we have, well, all of them are wonderful, but is the power of praying in tongues. When the Holy Spirit comes, he comes as God, and he gives gifts, and I love speaking in tongues. These guys hadn't received the Spirit, so they couldn't pray in tongues. So for 10 days, they prayed without tongues. I call that a miracle. Imagine you and I, 10 days, guys, not 5. Try one. I'll be chuntering away after an hour. in tongues. 10 days, they said, you promised the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit. Lord, we're before your face. We're seeking you for the gift and the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we will not give up until we see the promise fulfilled. We're not going to back off. Those 10 days, they showed the fervency. They showed the dedication. They showed a commitment to God's purpose for his Spirit to transform the whole world. It was more than an hour of power. Some of us can't even go for an hour of power. They did a 10-day stint without tongues. Sorry, I still think it's a remarkable thing. Because I love speaking in tongues. I think it's amazing. They met the conditions. They prayed in one mind together with expectation. You see, there has to be faith. You don't just pray for 10 days without faith. You will get nothing. Can I please tell you and set you free from an extremely boring prayer life? Before you pray, what are you actually believing for? Do you have a promise? And are you willing to pray, gather together with other believers? A promise that speaks of a society changed. I believe God will change this society if we will pray the conditions and meet the conditions for transformation. I want to be a part of the global outpouring of the Spirit. I don't want to be at home having a pizza. I wonder if there were 121 people invited and one didn't go. I'd have been mad if I'd have stayed at home on the day the Spirit came. No, sorry, too busy. You know, got a job, got wife, got kids, got things to do, places to go. A commitment, a wholehearted commitment to seeing God bring in the harvest of souls. Ultimately, this is to stop people going to hell. Ultimately, that is why we are speaking about this today. Because God doesn't want anyone to perish, but to all to come to a knowledge of truth. Thank you, Jesus. You see, Jesus is our unifying factor. He is. You're a bit weird. I'm a bit weird. Jesus is the reason we're here. Is that okay? Pastor said, called me weird, I'm leaving the church. I'm just saying, there's stuff about you that I can't relate to. And there's probably stuff about me that you can't relate to. But we have a unifying factor. And it's God. It's Jesus. He lives in us. We are one spirit with the Lord, and we are one in Christ. We don't have to try to be. He has already made us one in Christ Jesus. Whether you like it or not, we are one. Jesus is our unifying factor. But this one accord thing means that we've got to lay aside what we want for what he wants. And say, Lord, we want an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will actually transform the world. Thank you for what you've done so far in seeing people saved, healed, set free. But it is nothing in comparison to what we see is available. And by the way, there are no special times. God always wants to do the same. But there are a special people devoted to being one accord in prayer that will see an outpouring of the Spirit. God always wants to transform society. But it's us being one heart, one mind in what God wants to do. In Acts 2:41, let's just look there. Actually, verse 40, with many other words, Peter, he was preaching, warned them and pleaded them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now, in the New King James, it actually said, they were added to them. You see, the them are important to God. This unique group are important to God. God wants everybody part of that group, but not everybody chose to be part of that group. Are you getting this? There was a unique group. They were unique because they decided, they made choices to be part, gathered together with what God wanted to do. And God added to them. Now, 120 guys, there were 3,000 added. Now, in the normal kind of way life happens, it's normally the other way around. The 120 were added to the 3,000. But it's a question of the life that God wants for the 3,000. And he actually says, what I want to reproduce is these 120 disciples in these 3,000. So those who are saved are not just added to heaven, but they're added to this group of people. Isn't that remarkable? That God doesn't just say, well, it's just Jesus you need. He says it's people you need. And it's a people who are devoted to what I ask them to do. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, hey? Do you know it's really important to God that we understand his purpose goes way beyond us? It's really important. God loves you. He has an amazing plan for your life. But it's not in isolation. It's with a gathering of believers. A local church that is committed to being in one accord with Jesus. So, in verse 41, those who accepted this message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves. 3,000 people devoted themselves. What a miracle for any leader or pastor. What a miracle. Not because the pastor asked them. Do you know, sometimes I could, I'm really moved to think that actually it's not powers of persuasion. It's that Jesus died for us that's enough for us to be devoted. When I got saved, nobody had to make me be anywhere. I wanted to be there. And you know what? 20 years later, I'm still there. I want to be where God wants me to be. And I want to be with the people of God. Because I know God has a plan for us to change the world. And so they devoted themselves to the four things that we are probably all fairly familiar with. But it's one thing to be familiar, another thing to do. It's amazing how much scripture we know. But it's only what we do that God says is real in our lives. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So these 3,000 were added to the message. The apostles would have just taught about Jesus. So the centrality of the person of Jesus was immediately one of the building blocks, the building block of the early church. Then they were devoted to fellowship. What did that mean? They were sharing life. They had everything in common. they actually had to be not with their worldly friends so they could be with the church. You know, you've got to decide who you're with. And that's not to the exclusion of reaching the world, but it's actually for the power of what God wants to do with us, so that when we go to see our friends, they are impacted by God and we're not impacted by them. So, they were together, fellowship, they were committed to the word, to prayer. The prayer life of the early church would have been interesting. And many years ago, and recently somebody handed me a DVD about the prayer life, the move of God in China and Mozambique and what God is doing. And they, in China, they have prayer meetings from 4 till 6 before they go to work. And they all pray, probably very similar to the early church, with one accord and one voice. So they're all praying to God. They're connected with God. They're not like looking at each other wondering what somebody else is going to say. They're just praying for 2 hours before they go to work. And so their prayer life was fueling what God wanted to do. Because if we don't pray, we won't see the power. We need to see a continued move of the Holy Spirit. And that is always fueled through prayer. And believers praying, this is corporate prayer. It's not just on your own. And we believe in time alone with God. But there is a community lifestyle when you're saved. There is not just a new life, there is a corporate life that we're called to. And there's nothing more wonderful on the earth than the body of Christ working together for the purpose of God. Taking care of one another, being there, supporting, meeting needs. There's nothing more tragic than people who kind of drift away and become isolated in their little home meetings with a TV, God channel, that's enough. God channel is not enough. The gathering of the saints is the purpose of God. That we're hearing the same word together in the local church. So that we're on one accord, so we have the power. There's no power when we're in disagreement. But there's power in agreement and in being one accord. So they went, you know the story in Acts 2, there were corporate gatherings, they went from house to house. So they had the big meetings like we do on a Sunday. This is our big meeting, guys. This is when we all come together. With an expectation that God is here. Not to get through a couple of hours and then we live again. But that we actually receive something very special from God in these times. So then we go out and then maybe from house to house. But there were small groups. There were people meeting in houses. There was this continuous flow of life. Thank you, Jesus. You might be sitting there saying, well, this is not the kind of church I signed up for. Well, when you got born again, you got signed up for God's will. That's where there's grace to change, but there needs to be a shaping, a transformation in us so that we can actually partner with what God wants to do to change the world. In Acts, read with me, Acts 4:29, we're going to finish. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're hearing God. He is speaking to us. And if you hear some other style, I'm not saying about all my words, I'm saying about the word, that actually you say, well, I'd rather belong to a church of another style. If it's not the word, it's not God. Hello? Hello? If it's not the word, it's not God. It's pure and simple. Absolutely clear. If it's not in the word, then it's not God. So this is God's will for us. Now, but the thing is, it's so exciting. I believe today, when we pray, if you're prepared to be one accord with God and us together, God is going to do something unusual in your life. Even with us. Look at us. What a bunch. But he looks for hearts. He looks for a devotion to his will. A people who are paying a price even to be together. Come on. I paid a price to be here. You paid a price. Some of you. Probably all of you. And this is what God loves. It's like, come on. Let's agree together for the purpose of God through the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:29. Now they're having a little bit of opposition from the religious people, because the religious people didn't like the Holy Spirit, didn't like the preaching about Jesus. They didn't like the signs and wonders. The guy who could walk after 38 years of being ill. Now you see, I believe if we go for what God is saying to us today, we're going to get those miracles. And it might be even you that do it. A notable miracle. I love healing headaches, but I really want a notable thing, which makes the world go, I noticed that. Because the world could say, he took an anodyne. But when somebody couldn't walk for 38 years, something happened. Something happened that made the world go, oh, shock and awe. And that is what God wants. So they're having this opposition. And I really feel this is where we're coming into to pray together. Verse 29, now Lord, they're praying. So they're together praying. They're not on their own praying. They're together. There is a power in prayer that you'll never have on your own. Now Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Now, they didn't minister to each other, to their feelings, and say, how do you feel about that bit of opposition? Are you all right? Should we just sit here, there? It's all right. Let's just close down and all, let's all just, they were just so out there with God's purpose. Yes, they probably didn't like persecution. I don't think anybody on earth likes persecution. But how did they respond? They said, Lord, consider their threats. They're trying to intimidate us. Now, give us boldness to preach. So they said, basically, we want to go back out there with more boldness that won't stop this message about Jesus getting out. Yeah, it's time for us to stand up and say, we will not be silent. And to pray in these kinds of meetings so that we're so filled up with boldness that courage, the power of the Holy Spirit comes on the inside, so that next week people will be amazed at the words that you speak. So he said, Lord, consider their threats. Fill us with boldness so that we may speak your word. What is the word? It's the message about Jesus. Fill us with the power so we can speak the message. Now these guys had already received the Holy Spirit. Now I would say most of us in this room, if not all, have received the Holy Spirit. Have you received the Holy Spirit? If you haven't, you can today. You can receive prayer for the Holy Spirit because we would love to pray with you. But this is after having received. They prayed for boldness and they prayed for miracles. So what did they do? They prayed for their preaching of the word, which means speaking, not just with a microphone. It means out in shopping places, out with your friends, that the word about Jesus will come out of you with power. And they prayed for signs and wonders, for healings. Now I always think this is interesting, because Jesus said believers will lay hands on the sick. But here they are, not just saying, quoting the scriptures, they're praying that there will be a manifestation of miracles. And so God is wanting to stir up in us a prayer today of one accord. Now this is what God is saying for us to be in one accord for. Pray if you're willing. It's down to you. It's freedom of choice here. Pray that you will be filled with boldness to speak the word. And pray for an outbreak of signs and wonders and healing through your life. And those who are in one accord, they lifted their voice together. That means they all said the same thing together. So this is a pretty kind of not waiting and being very British for the next person to pray. They all prayed at the same time with one voice. That meant one accord, one heart, one mind. Thank you, Jesus. All prayer. This is what in the history of the church they've called a concert of prayer. And, you know, in every move of God, when God puts people in this place of prayer together, 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 there is a world-changing move of God. We can have this. We can have it if we want it. It's not just a song, it's a promise. God wants us to have the power manifest in the same way as the early church. So they prayed, and then finally, verse 31, after they prayed. So there's a praying, and then there's an after. I wonder what's going to happen after we pray today. Some of you say, well, nothing. Nothing's going to happen. It's just all going to be the same. I'll go back home. You see, they prayed with an expectation. They prayed with faith that God was going to move. Is there an expectation in you today to pray? After they prayed, this is a corporate prayer meeting. Shh. The building shook. Sorry, St. Augustine's. God did that. We didn't. What did they say? The place where they were meeting was shaken. Now, I can't tell God what to do today. But we can pray His will. And then He chooses what He's going to do today. But I wouldn't mind if all of us were a bit shaken. I don't mind about the building. I'd rather we were shaken. I'd rather we were stirred up in the power of the Holy Spirit. The place where they met that was shaken, and they all, now this is so many of us are so focused on kind of the personal blessings of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of this prayer meeting, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. Again. They didn't ask to be filled. They prayed for preaching and power. Then they were filled. God did it anyway. And they began to speak the word with boldness. So the sign and the wonder were they were refilled and bold with the word. It's not a selfish prayer meeting, is it? And you've come today for this purpose. We want to honor what God is doing amongst us. We want to say that we love his presence and that Jesus is the reason we're gathered together. But we also want to say there is something a bit greater than just you and me being blessed. God wants to do that, but he wants a one accord in this place today where we are of the same mind and we say, Lord, we will not be intimidated by what people say we can or cannot say. We won't be intimidated by the looks on the faces of the people at work. We won't be intimidated and make an excuse for our personality. God wants to liberate you from your personality by filling you with the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with boldness and began to preach. And signs and wonders follow the preaching of God's word. Thank you, Jesus. And today, in this place, God wills us to do this. Just like the early church, we're a gathering of saints. Every one of us is important to God. It's important that you came here today. And it's important that you understand the power of gathering together. Small groups, faith projects, prayer meetings, and temple worship, the whole church together. It's important you understand that you can choose to be a part of what God is doing. Amen. And not give up meeting together. Hebrews 10:25 says, do not give up meeting together. Can I just say that again? It's the word of the Lord. Do not give up meeting together. Because that's the purpose of God. Together we can change the world. Together we can see a move of God. Together we can see a manifestation of power. Praise God for his purpose for us. Thank you, Jesus. Shall we stand together?
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.